Welcome to True Worldview, your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the issues that matter. I'm Christy Johnson. I'm here with Paul Dean, and today we're talking about an education crisis in the American school system.
Christy, that's right. Came across a piece from the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. It's entitled Training Teachers to Fail. And obviously, they're talking about this literacy crisis in American schools as reading scores are plummeting. And part of the problem lies in newly minted teaching methods. And it's just interesting to me. It should be obvious that there's a problem in the American school system, but it seems like not everyone is aware of it, or they don't know what to do about it. But we've got things like this. Here's a quote. The worst thing a teacher can do when students ask questions is answer them. Students only want to write about what they're interested in. And so when you've got things like that, you can see that the current education system and current pedagogical techniques, they're a little bit different than they used to be.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I've even seen it in personal examples. I have friends who are teachers, and they talk about, public school teachers just giving the kids their packet of work that day or something and not actually teaching. And some of them will say, oh, yeah, the teacher didn't teach me anything. We just did our packet today, which, I mean, you'll have to forgive me because I'm not in the public school system, but I don't even know what a packet is. But, you know, that's what they're doing. And it's almost like teaching the basics of phonics, fluency, vocabulary, and comprehension is a thing of the past. We just give them the packet and that's it.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, we've all talked about some of the things that have come down the pike from the government in terms of education. But when students struggle in reading, for example, teachers are instructed to utilize shortcuts to increase engagement. You know, things like leveled reading and technology and audio books and graphic novels. And we're talking about novels that have pictures, basically. Yeah. And so it seems to me that part of this is a result of the PC culture. It's the PC culture that's intruded into education, and I think it's done so at just about every level. And we can think of that in terms of, you know, kindergarten, grammar school, middle, high, even college. But, you know, when we're talking about high school students, for example, or students even younger learning to read, to force them into, you know, outdated and so-called rigid models of learning, you know, we're imposing on their creativity, as it were, or somehow it's not politically correct to engage in the old methods. We've got to let the children use their own language and express themselves in the way that they deem fit. Or if we try to impose so-called dominant ideas upon them in terms of our value system, well, all of that is anathema, but not just values, but just the importance of reading and reading properly, the importance of grammar and sentence structure and syntax and all the rest. And it seems like they're not interested in students learning, but they're interested in what the prevailing mindset of our culture says with regard to anything and everything, including education.
Yeah, that's true. And if you're not interested in learning, then that's going to affect their future as well. If all you're doing is saying, oh, we need to let them be creative, and I get where they're coming from, because I do think that there is something inherently broken with the public school system, and I think we can talk about that a little bit more later in detail, but the idea that you're teaching every kid the same thing, I don't think that necessarily works either, because children and high school students and all the rest do have different learning styles, and some people are able to comprehend at a faster rate and that kind of thing. And so I understand that maybe they're trying to push back against some of that by saying, well, let's just help them to be more creative or something. But it's almost like we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater and saying, well, we don't need to, because, you know, not everyone learns the same way, we're just not going to be rigid. And then it kind of sets everyone up for failure in their future, because they're just going to expect life to be easy because school was easy.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right on all of that. Obviously, we want to encourage and foster creativity. I think that's one of the problems. They really don't foster a lot of creativity. It's more along the lines of just let the students be who they are and where they are. And what I meant by not imposing rigid methods or rigid techniques is this whole issue of, you know, not teaching phonics anymore, or, right, you know, the proper rules of grammar, just letting them free form, you know, free, almost like free association, or
yeah,
Ebonics, if you remember that, the whole bit. And so, no, overly rigid methods are not good either. I mean, you and I would agree, students need to be taught to think. And that's one of the things that they're not being taught to do today. They're not given critical thinking skills. They need to be taught to analyze, to extrapolate, to forecast. And that's just not happening in a lot of cases today.
Yeah, critical thinking is a must. We have to be able to think critically and to think independently. So I think that maybe some of the things they're doing are trying to foster independent thought, but there has to be structure to be able to teach students how to critically think independently, if you know what I'm saying.
That's right.
Because if we're left to our own selves without any rules or structure, then what, I mean, I don't know about you, but the things that I come up with by myself are usually pretty dumb, and at least as a child. And so I think students need to have that structure and be taught to think critically and independently. They need to go hand in hand.
Well, that's right. And one of the interesting things about this is that you've got this, let's don't adhere to rules when it comes to reading and grammar and things of that nature. And so literacy plummets, but there are rules in terms of what we're trying to teach the students. They're being indoctrinated. And so you really are seeing students, for the most part, they're cookie cutter. They're cranked out with ideas that really are, you know, being foisted upon them. And because they don't have critical thinking skills, or they're not taught to think independently, they're not really encouraged in that way. Research is not what happens in the public school system. They don't want independent thinking. They don't want people to question authority, for example, or to question the government, or to question popular, or let me say PC, what am I looking for? PC theology, for lack of a better word, philosophy.
Right.
They want students to be fairly compliant so that they can, advance their agenda. And so I think that that's all the more reason that we need effective teaching methods when it comes to reading and writing, in addition to, you know, analytical skills that go along with that. And I think the only way to, you know, develop your thinking muscles, if I could use that terminology, is to broaden a student's horizons. And it's not that I'm, you know, in favor of without guidance, just exposing students to anything and everything. I mean, we're talking about government schools, and I'm not trying to fix the government schools. I personally think the government schools ought to be done away with, but that's another subject for another time. But I'm just talking about education in general. I want to train my students, my children. I want to train them to look at the entire world through a biblical lens, because there's only one true worldview. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that I only want them to read things and be exposed to things with which we agree. We want them to be exposed to all kinds of things so that they can analyze those things through that biblical lens, if that makes sense.
Right. And I think you see not just in schools, but I think it overflows into media as well. And we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, so I won't spend a lot of time talking about it here. But you do see, especially in YouTube videos, even with kids, almost like this indoctrination of the PC culture. And I'm sure they're getting that in schools as well. And it seems to be a hypocritical thing because they're trying to push back against what they might see as like indoctrination of people on the right, you know, conservative ideals sure. or something. And it seems like they're trying to say, well, we want you to think critically and to be a more well-rounded person, but then they just go and indoctrinate with their own PC agenda. And I've seen it before in YouTube shows, like I think of the React channel, for example, and I think some of our listeners will know what that is, where they have kids and they show them videos and different things and they get them to respond to them and react to them. But the way they frame it is almost like they're shaping their thoughts to make them come to their conclusions that they already want them to come to. So we need, like you said, to broaden our horizons. And I think people, I think Christians and all of us need to know where people on the left are coming from. We need to understand what they're trying to do, like you said, so that we can be educated and converse with them and understand them and not just view it as like a separate, you know, other thing that we don't need to worry about because we have the right answers and we don't need to worry about them. We need to understand them, but at the same time, we need real truth. And I think the thing is, critical and independent thinking can't be rooted in relativism if you're going to be truly educated. And I think that's the whole point. If you constantly have, well, this person says you need to learn this, and this person says over here a different thing, you need to learn this, then how do you know what to believe or how to formulate your educational philosophy or that kind of thing? It has to be rooted in God's truth, because God's truth is the only thing that really makes sense of reality.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, if you think about it, it is a fact that no matter who's in charge, whether it's the PC culture or say the right, the conservative culture, the extreme right, or whoever, education, you're going to be teaching from a particular worldview. There's a worldview behind everything that's said, everything that's taught. And Christians in particular need to understand that. And the worldview that you're getting in the government school system is diametrically opposed to the biblical worldview. And they need to understand that. And so I think your point about critical thinking, independent thinking, can't be rooted in relativism. That's certainly true. This is God's world, and there are things that are true and things that are not. There are facts, and there are things that are not facts. And so you've got to look through that biblical lens in order to see things rightly. And I think that a lot of Christians, if we could just go down this road for a minute, Christy, I don't think they understand that whether you're teaching ethics, they would agree with that, but science, math, history, you can either teach from a biblical worldview or you're teaching from an oppositional worldview. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's a biblical way to teach math. I mean, somebody said, well, math is the same for believers and unbelievers. Well, there's a sense in which computation, is the same. 2 + 2 = 4. But you can leave God out of the equation when you teach math, or you can bring God into the equation. And, just by way of a simple example, God has created this world, and he's created it to be a world of order. And 2 + 2 = 4 every single time because God says so. But on an evolutionary worldview, if there is no God and we're just a random chance accident, well, then 2 + 2 might not be 4 tomorrow. And somebody would say, well, that's foolish because we know it's 4. Well, it's 4 because this isn't just a random kind of universe. It's a universe that's been created by God. And that uniformity that you see in that respect is from God. And history, it needs to be interpreted in light of God's providence and what God is doing in literature and art. I mean, there's a way to do art that glorifies God, and there's a way to do art that denies the reality of God. And we all have our own assumptions, our own presuppositions, and we need to bring them into submission to God's word. There's only one true worldview. It's God, and all others are false.
Yeah, and I also think the reason that we are maybe not always aware that there is a worldview battle going on, or a spiritual dynamic and a fight going on, I think one of the reasons we're not always aware of that is because it is so subtle, and if we're not thinking critically from a worldview perspective, then false ideas can just slip into our minds without us even realizing it. And I'm going to give you a personal example, and hopefully this will make sense.
Sure.
I was talking recently with a friend, and she and I come from very different backgrounds. She has a Muslim background, and I obviously have a Christian background. And we were just talking about life and our philosophy of business, basically. And we both, she pointed out to me that we both have the same like desires in our business and in our personal lives. Even though we come from different backgrounds, we both want to be content in our lives, and we both want to be grateful, and we both want to do the next right thing in our lives. And if you're not thinking critically, or you're not aware of that, it's such a subtle thing that I see this in my own life. You can look at something like that and say, well, yeah, she does want to do that, and that's great. And I don't need to talk to her about the Christian worldview, because she seems like she's got her life figured out. But what I was realizing as I was talking to her is that I believe the reason that we have a similar, you know, desires for our businesses is because we both are created in the image of God, and she doesn't, instead of seeing her desire to want to be content or whatever as a gift of God, she just sees it as like the goodness of humanity. And there are so many, you know, like podcasts that I listen to. For example, I listen to Stuff You Should Know podcast. I love their podcast because they talk about historical events, or they talk about industrial, you know, revolutions or things like that, or just things that you should know about, like how recycling works, or how windmills work. But then they also talk about historical events and let you know about them. And if you're not filtering it through your Christian worldview, a biblical lens, then I can listen to their podcast and think that, yeah, humanity's all right without God, because it's so subtle. And so what I'm trying to say is we do need to analyze everything, because what I need to realize is that when I listen to those podcasts, for example, there is something lacking, and you can see it. And I think we talked about this a little bit on one of our podcasts about are all people just inherently good? I think that that's kind of like a worldview that's being pushed to us in media, but also in education, that we're just inherently good. But that's not the case. What we need to be doing is showing people the truth and saying, the reason you feel a desire to want to do good is because you're created in God's image, and show, like you said, all truth is God's truth. So that was a long roundabout way to say, agree with you.
That's right. That's right. And all truth is God's truth. And of course, there are other people, though, who use that little phrase in a way that they shouldn't. And because some people want to claim, well, and I'm not refuting you, I'm agreeing with you, this is a side issue.
Yeah.
Some people want to say, well, okay, here's a truth, and if it's true, you know, it might come out of a different worldview. But there you go. I was listening to somebody recently. Here's a good example. And he was saying that he's a Christian, but he's also a Buddhist. So he's a Christian Buddhist. And he was asked, well, how can you be both? And he said, well, all truth is God's truth, and I get a lot of truth out of Buddhism. Well, that's called syncretism. That's called idolatry. And there may be some true things that a Buddhist would say here or there, but even those true things they say, it's not because it's rooted in the reality of God. You just happen to stumble upon it because, as you've said, Christy, you're created in the image of God. And so it might be true, but you don't need to go to Buddhism to find extra truth. All the truth you need is in the Bible.
Right.
Yeah.
It depends on how you define truth.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Buddhism is not truth. So.
That's right. That's right.
God.
Yeah. The other thing. Yeah. Did I interrupt you?
Nope. Go
okay,
for it.
Okay. Couple of other things real quick. One, and I want to say this before I just take my parting comments, as it were. I'm lamenting the whole government education system. You understand that. I think our listeners understand that. At the same time, we need Christians in that system, Christian teachers, not because they can overtly teach the gospel in class, but because Christians in that context can be and are uniquely positioned to influence students. There's a lot of interaction they could have with students outside of the classroom, I'll say that. And they can also mitigate sometimes in some ways what's being taught to the students in the classroom, though you can't certainly overtly come from a biblical worldview. You can't say 2 + 2 = 4 because this is God's world. They're not allowed to do that. And you know what? You know, as much as I lament that, you know, the worldview that's being propagated in the government education system right now is, it's not neutral. People think it's neutral. It's not neutral. It's opposed to God. But I don't want them teaching, you know, math or history or science from a Buddhist worldview or from a Hindu worldview. Or necessarily even from a Christian worldview, because that's, again, government imposing religion. That's my objection to government schools altogether. By nature, they're going to be imposing a religion, whether the mass of humanity or the majority of the American people think so or not. That they're coming from an unbiblical worldview. It's by nature a worldview. But Christians in that system, they're sort of... what's the proverb say, that the spider in the king's palace? You know, they're there. They're infiltrators. They're subversives. They can influence for the gospel if they're thinking in those ways. And we don't just need to abandon this thing that we have in terms of just fleeing, if that makes sense. I don't know if you want to comment on that before I head to my last set of comments, but I wanted to get that on the table at least.
No, I mean, just one thing I thought about when you were talking is that everything is taught from a worldview. And if me, an adult who I like to think of myself as pretty like critically thinking, except I don't know how to word that sentence correctly grammatically, but, if even I am getting influenced by the worldview coming out of Stuff You Should Know podcast, for example,
yeah.
What about our children, you know, who are not, who don't have the same amount of critical thinking skills that I do? It's sad. So we do need to be thinking about that.
Yeah. And the last thing I was going to say is I think it's, you know, appropriate to point out the inefficiency of government education, even the oppression. Because when you remove education from parents, I think you're removing freedom, and again, in our system, parents are technically entering into it voluntarily. On the other hand, it's sort of expected. I mean, homeschooling is becoming more and more popular. Private schooling has certainly been around, but there is this notion that kids have to be in school and they have to learn this, they have to learn that, and the parents more and more increasingly, if they're not teaching the things that the PC culture says they need to be teaching, or if they're teaching things contrary to that, there is a subtle movement, and it's going to gain ground. It has gained ground, but it'll gain more, that somehow we're abusing children. And that's a concern for me. That's not happening at, you know, our local public school. There's nobody down there shouting that, but that I'm just saying that's where the academics are going and the folk in power are going. And so I think when education becomes a matter of prevailing political opinion, then education itself is removed. And that goes to what we've been talking about in terms of independent thinking. So there you go. We're just those lemmings, as it were, cranked out and want to be something different as Christians, right?
That's right. We want to We want to promote truth and God's truth, as you said, and we want freedom. We stand for that, I think, on our podcast. And parents, like we always say, we just want you to think and to think biblically. So thanks for listening today, and join us next time where we'll be talking about something else interesting on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. And the gospel.